Chief White House correspondent Kristen Welker joins me now.
From across the nation.
What is the number one issue for you?
To the national stage.
And I welcome you to the final 2020 presidential debate.
When critical votes were counted.
Still too close to call.
And when power was held to account.
Is abuse of power an impeachable offense?
Kristen Welker met the moment. Now she joins Meet the Press as its new moderator.
If it's Sunday, it's Meet the Press.
Sundays on NBC.
Hey, this is Lance Bass from Frosted Tips. So my husband Michael and I just took an amazing road trip to the iHeartRadio Music Festival in Vegas. And thanks to Hyundai, we were able to record a special episode just for you guys along the way. We're so excited to take you on this journey with us. You're not going to want to miss this one, right, babe?
No, you won't.
Here's a quick preview. You can listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
I loved being on the tour bus. I don't sleep better than when I'm on a bus. But I also had to share a bus with Joey Fatone. But the good thing is eventually when we made it,
yeah,
we had a bus that had a shower on it.
This episode is brought to you by the all-electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 and Ioniq 6.
Hey, hey, it's Malcolm Gladwell, host of Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Your elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive entirely its own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
And we continue with Our American Stories. Up next, a story from a listener in West Virginia. Here's Joe Quinn with his story.
On the morning of April 30th, 2019, I got back into acting after raising a family. And then on April 30th at 5:30 in the morning, while I was putting my boots on and getting ready for work, I felt something funny. It wasn't funny like haha funny. It was funny like, well, that was weird. So I started tying my boots, and a little bit of a hard feeling in my right hand. It wasn't working very well. I looked at myself in the mirror, and I stuck my tongue out, and my right side of my face just sagged, and I went, oh God, I'm having a stroke. So I went upstairs with my right leg starting to dwindle. And I wanted to tell my wife, hey, I'm having a stroke, and I couldn't talk. So that was the beginning of a real tumultuous journey. I always knew I was adopted, always, from my earliest recollection. My parents made sure I knew that I was adopted, so I guess it was important, but to me, it didn't matter. I had my mom and dad. And as I grew up, I was just a little tyke. And I remember my dad had a affinity for alcohol. He drank. And I remember one time I was seven. I hit a home run in Little League Baseball. And that's all I ever hit was that one home run, because my dad, he sort of staggered out of the bleachers, and he was from Louisiana. He was a Southerner, and my mother was from Germany. She was a war bride. Well, my dad comes staggering out of the bleachers, and he goes, "You didn't hit no god home run." I'll always remember that. You know, he said that I was stepping in the bucket and I was just swinging to try to protect myself. That wasn't the only time. I mean, I boxed, same thing. It was kind of a bizarre relationship with my dad. I think he treated me like his little brother, like I was a sibling. And, you know, a sibling rivalry over the affections of mom. He He said, let's put the gloves on there. Let's put the gloves on, get down in the basement box a little bit. So, I was again, around 7 or 8. And man, he knocked me cold. He just bam. Broke my nose and chipped my front teeth. And I woke up and said, don't make a scene. Mom won't let us box anymore. But that's just the way, then I really didn't have any sort of a model to look to. I kind of modeled myself after people in the movies. That's all I had. Especially a powerful movie for me when I was growing up. And about that time was Cool Hand Luke, Paul Newman, and that was a powerful movie for me. Another one was 2001. When that came out, I thought, wow, that was a really powerful. I didn't understand it, but it was powerful, and I thought it was great. And I thought, that's where I want to be. I thought about being in the movies and being an actor and trying to look for something. I was looking for something. Well, I got some weights, and I started lifting weights in the basement. And all of a sudden, I had something. There was something. My mom was from Germany. She was kind of she was from Germany. And that kind of says it all. I mean, she was very strict and very forthright with everything. With everything. The way you ate, the way you sat, the way you talked. She expected a certain thing out of people. And she's expected people to act a certain way and have a certain decorum about themselves, too. I got a service, and I majored in theater, and that was the end of it. That was really the straw that broke the camel's back with my parents. They were like, oh, theater? What are you doing? Major in business or finance or law. Get into pre-law. You'd be a good lawyer. And then do some community theater on the side. What's the matter with you? Anyway, as I got older, I'd ask God, what in the heck did he let those two people adopt me for? Just didn't make any sense. You know, I mean, there was nothing there. Nothing. No support. But I'll tell you what, weightlifting gave me an identity. It gave me something that I was good at. It gave me something I could be proud of. It gave me something that people liked me and respected me and would ask me questions and ask me to help them. And I thought, well, fantastic. I got something. I really do. I felt like I was really in something good, with good people, with substantial things to do. Well, anyway, after I got through college and my parents, first one to go was my mother. She had a cancer of the liver, and I was sitting at her bedside when she died. My dad, almost a year to the day later, he had gone back to Louisiana. He had lung cancer. I looked at him, and he was in the living room there. There was a house coat on. He was down close to 70 pounds at this time. He was getting really close to the end. And I thought for 1 second I was going to go over there and say, let's put the gloves on. Come on. Let's put them on. And then I'm just going to hit him as hard as I could with just a straight right hand. Bam! Right down the middle. And just say, how do you like it? That's absurd. You don't replay evil for evil. It's really much more powerful. I just forgave them, both of them. But the problems really persisted because when my parents had passed away, I mistakenly thought, sure, now they're gone, my life will be fine. No. My first wife, that ended. My second wife, that also and because of my shenanigans and because of my bad behavior. I just could not shed that feeling that was following me everywhere. And that was that I'm worthless.
And you've been listening to Joe Quinn share his story. And what a story it is. It starts with abandonment. And he is ultimately adopted and was told he was adopted from the earliest time. He had a bizarre relationship with his own father, who drank too much. Moreover, it was almost a sibling rivalry between he and his father over his mother. You heard that boxing story. Just how bizarre. He modeled himself after people in the movies, people like Paul Newman from the epic classic Cool Hand Luke. And in the end, he found meaning and identity lifting weights and also in the pursuit of the arts and in acting. But anger, resentment, and shame and a feeling of worthlessness prevailed in his life. When we come back, more of Joe Quinn's story, and check out his documentary, Diary of a Bodybuilder, at diaryofabodybuilder.com. More of Joe Quinn's story here on Our American Stories. Here at Our American Stories, we bring you inspiring stories of history, sports, business, faith, and love. Stories from a great and beautiful country that need to be told. But we can't do it without you. Our stories are free to listen to, but they're not free to make. If you love our stories and America like we do, please go to OurAmericanStories.com and click the donate button. Give a little. Give a lot. Help us keep the great American stories coming. That's OurAmericanStories.com.
Hey, this is Tanya Rad from the Scrubbing In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad podcast. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
At Ford, we pride ourselves on building strong, capable vehicles. But we're only as strong as the people who drive them. People like you, who don't just see an F-150 or a Ford Super Duty, but see what they can build with it. Who look at a 450-horsepower Mustang and envision where it could take them. Or see the new Bronco or Bronco Sport and think, what that thing needs is an off-road dirt bath. Because built Ford proud is more than just a set of words. It's a pact between us, our drivers, and what we can do together. And we'll do it. Built Ford proud.
Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Horsepower and torque ratings based on premium fuel per SAE J1349. Always consult the owner's manual before off-road driving. Know your terrain and trail difficulty and use appropriate safety gear. Ford is committed to the preservation of the environment and treading lightly.
Hi, everyone. This is Scott Patterson from I Am All In with Scott Patterson. I'd like to invite you to watch my brand new series on the CW called Sullivan's Crossing. It's all about healing and journeys of self-discovery, and I think you'll really enjoy it. I play Sully Sullivan, and my character owns a campground in Nova Scotia, Canada, when my estranged daughter, played by Morgan Cohan, comes back seeking solace after a very difficult situation, and we both have to navigate a very tough past family history. Meanwhile, Cal, played by Chad Michael Murray, who works with my character and has a very mysterious past of his own, begins to befriend my daughter, Maggie, and makes things even more complicated for all of them. If you want more, you'll have to watch it. The series is based on the New York Times bestselling series, And did I mention this will mark my return to the CW since Gilmore Girls, as well as Chad Michael Murray's return to the network, too. I'm so glad to be back, and I hope you'll meet me there. Sullivan's Crossing airs Wednesdays on the CW or stream free on the CW app.
And we're back with Our American Stories and with Joe Quinn's story. Let's pick up where we last left off.
This first therapist I saw, it, he goes, well, first of all, you do know you were an abused child. And I just burst into tears. I mean, it was like a flood. And I mean, it was really a powerful experience, cathartic, in fact. Then I got to my third wife, and that almost made it. But the torment of where it came from, and fueled by alcohol, still drove me to do terrible things. Eventually, 2005, February 6th, I went to my first meeting, the program, AA. I thank God for AA, and I'm in it today. I sponsor people, and I closed in here on 17 years of sobriety, so I dealt with it. At this point in my life, I feel as though I've got a handle on things, but from a very different perspective following that stroke I had in April of 2019. So that's the biggest challenge I've had in my life. My parents are not my challenge anymore. And the weightlifting, as it came through the gamut, it was solid, it was stable, it was something I could count on, and I didn't need anybody else. Like if I was a boxer, I need a trainer, I need a sparring partner, you know what I mean? But you lift weights, just go down to the basement and set your dumbbells and your barbell down and turn some music on and get to work, you know? And you can do that anywhere. It's always there whenever you need it, except when you have a stroke. I don't mean that to sound facetious, but it's really hard for me. I miss it. I miss it terribly, terribly. It's like the death, a death of a family member that I can't work out. My bodybuilding has been cut short. I remember competing at the Nationals in Pittsburgh in 2016. I remember being on a stage and looking out over a dark auditorium with people, and I would say close to 70%, maybe more, were on their cell phones. They weren't even watching my posing routine. And I love posing. I won best poser at some contests. And I didn't feel offended or angry. I felt sad. This is the end. They took some pictures of us, and a friend of mine sent me the pictures after they were developed. And I have to tell you, I did not look good in those stupid pictures. It looked ridiculous. And in those shorts, those Speedos, reminds me of when I used to ride my bicycle out to the end of pier over there in the summers, and the old men would be out there just standing or talking and wearing these Speedos looking ridiculous. When I saw myself, I felt like, wow, I look just like those old dudes that would hang out at the end of the pier over there off North Avenue Beach. And I mean, they look bad. So I thought, was that me looking like that? I mean, aesthetics are gone. They're out the window. I'm not going to be part of that anymore. Now, in my life, I became a Christian when I was 18 years old in the Marine Corps. And in spite of my struggles, I've always seen that the peace and the power and the real victory and everything was here. In my drunken and often drunken and angry tirades against God, was a verse that always came to mind, that neither this man sinned nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God could be glorified. So I was put into that situation, into that challenge, into that hell, into that cesspool for an opportunity for God to be glorified. I think that his glory is evident even in spite of those people. I love the Lord. I have grown to understand just how powerful he is, especially through this stroke and through this lightest challenge in life that's probably the biggest thing I'll ever undertake, aside from my death. And I'm not afraid to die anymore, because I was in the midst of terror after that stroke. Terror. And that word doesn't even do it justice. I hope to God no one has to go through this, what I did with a stroke. It's just what an awful experience. But on the flip side of all that is that God's going to be glorified in that stroke. God's going to be glorified in my life. And that's all that matters, because I feel that I was created to bring him glory in spite of who I am. But now in my life, I have God. I have a beautiful home, a beautiful wife. I have an absolutely beautiful life. I do, in spite of having a stroke. I feel positive. I feel empowered. I feel that because of forgiveness, solely because of forgiveness, I've been able to release all the past issues and anomalies and things that were just evil in certain instances that brought me up. But it forged me into the exact person I think God had in mind. And it's not for me. My life's not mine. My life is his. It's to give him glory, and that's what I hope I do. And that's what I strive for, in spite of all the flaws that I have.
And a great job on the production, as always, by Greg Hengler. And a special thanks to Joe Quinn for sharing his story. To learn more about Quinn, check out his documentary called Diary of a Bodybuilder at diaryofabodybuilder.com. And the dam burst when his therapist told him later in life, you know, you were an abused child. In 2006, we learned he went to his first AA meeting. Thank God for AA, he said. And he's closing in on 17 years of sobriety. But the biggest challenge of his life wasn't his parents anymore. It was his stroke. He'd lost weightlifting. He'd lost his identity. But he was searching for real peace and power. And he found it through his faith walk. I'm not afraid to die anymore. I was created to bring God glory despite who I am. I have a beautiful home, wife, and life, and feel positive and empowered. And I couldn't have done it without forgiveness. The story of Joe Quinn, of his fall and his redemption, here on Our American Stories.
Introducing Uber Teen Accounts. If you have a teenager, you probably drive them around a lot. Maybe you're even driving them right now.
New Uber Teen accounts are a parent-supervised Uber account with always-on safety features that let your teen request a ride when you can't take them yourself. Your teen gets to ride with a highly rated driver, and you get to follow along with real-time notifications and live trip tracking in your Uber app. Add your teen to your Uber account today. Available in select locations. See app for details.
Now is the time to experience America's pastime in a whole new way. Major League Baseball has teamed up with T-Mobile for Business to advance the game with next-gen 5G solutions, going deeper with real-time data visualization, new camera angles that put fans on the field with their favorite players, and even testing an automated ball strike system in the minor leagues. This is the 5G era of baseball. See what we can do for your business at T-Mobile.com/now. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Officially licensed product of MLB Players Incorporated.
Hey, this is Lance Bass from Frosted Tips. So my husband, Michael, and I just took an amazing road trip to the iHeartRadio Music Festival in Vegas. And thanks to Hyundai, we were able to record a special episode just for you guys along the way. We're so excited to take you on this journey with us. You're not going to want to miss this one, right, babe?
No, you won't.
Here's a quick preview. You can listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
I loved being on the tour bus. I don't sleep better than when I'm on a bus. But I also had to share a bus with Joey Fatone. But the good thing is eventually when we made it,
yeah,
we had a bus that had a shower on it.
This episode is brought to you by the all-electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 and Ioniq 6.